This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of What the Puck, a podcast about the 2018 Stanley Cup champions, the Washington Capitals. Now, you may have noticed that your eardrums aren't bleeding, which means it's not Brandon leading off tonight's show. It's Dan, and I'm going solo tonight as Brandon is out there in the world doing Brandon things. Now, tonight we have a few games to discuss as the Caps had a rather rough week, losing to the NHL's version of Sheffield United, that joke's for you, Ryan, in Buffalo, and a feisty loss to Boston, although they did beat up on a disinterested Philadelphia team. Now, to be fair to Buffalo, they're not as bad as their record indicates. I mean, yeah, they are bad. This is not a good hockey team this season. Everything completely fell apart for them in what they thought they were going to have. I mean, you go into the season, yeah, he's a bit older, considerably older, but in Eric Staal, you have Taylor Hall, who seems like he's on a one-year example kind of contract where he wants to go and show that he's worth more and able to provide more for a team. And Jeff Skinner, who's disappeared from the Jeff Skinner that we saw in Carolina for all those years. And they just completely crapped the bed. I mean, this is not, unfortunately, a good team. There's a reason they have 31 points, which literally puts them dead last in the NHL. Although, I was looking at the standings. Interestingly enough, they don't have the worst goal differential. They're close, but not the worst. That's currently held by Anaheim, which I think last I checked, and that is as of this recording being Wednesday night, Anaheim is sitting at a negative 47. There you go, Sarah. Negative 47. Buffalo's only negative 45. It's not as bad. Maybe if the Caps hadn't blown that game against them, it'd be worse. I don't know. But anyways, back to the Capitals, who continue to drop points that they need. And this is becoming a consistent problem with this team. As of recording right now, again, that being Wednesday, they are tied with the Islanders for first in the East. Oh, I'm sorry, NHL, the Mass Mutual East with 62. You know what? They're going to end up keeping those around. I know they said it's for one season, but I am willing to bet, and we're going to talk more about this when we go around the NHL in terms of things that they said. Oh, no, that's actually not in around the NHL. I apologize. There's something else about the interesting ways, let's put it like that, that the NHL is finding additional revenue or new sources of revenue or some other term that in the financial world makes more sense than what I'm trying to say. But anyways, Caps are tied with the Islanders first in the East with 62 points. Pittsburgh is 1 point behind at 61 because that's how math works. They've all played the same amount of games. Boston is currently sitting at 58, which is 4 behind the Caps and the Islanders. However, and to be fair, credit where credit is due, this was brought up by John Walton on the Caps podcast, which I always forget the name of. Brandon turned me on to this podcast, and then I can never remember it. Caps on Caps Radio 24/7. It is the Caps this morning. It's actually a really entertaining. It's short. They're usually about 17 minutes. You just throw them on when you get to work or in the car if you're commuting to work like I am, and you can listen to it. It takes up like no time. Listen to it in the bathroom, depending on how long you're in there. That might be a little weird, though, depending on how close your bathroom is to everybody else. Anyways, I've gotten off topic, and it took me a whopping about 3 minutes. So that's actually about on par for a normal show that Brandon and I do. Anyways, going back, the Bruins have played two less games than the Capitals, and they're 4 points behind. For those of you who are new to the sport, you get 2 points when you win a game. 2 plus 2 is 4. That's a problem. So if the Bruins win both of those games, in catching up to the number of games the Islanders and the Caps have played, that means they're also tied with them for first in the East. And that is all happening without bringing up the Rangers, who are technically 10 points behind the Caps. So while it might look like there's 4 teams set for the playoffs in the Caps and the Bruins and the Penguins and the Islanders, this is by no means set. The Capitals are definitely not guaranteed a spot in the upcoming Stanley Cup playoffs. And if they play like they did against Buffalo and they keep losing games like they need to win against Boston, there is a chance. I'm not going to go into the percentage because I don't know how to do that, but there is a chance that this team does not get into Lord Stanley Cup's playoffs. And that would be, considering this roster, considering the amount of money they're spending, and I, you know, you talk about other teams how much they spend and whatever, considering the roster, considering the talent that they have, considering the moves they made in the offseason, considering the coaching that they're going with, I mean, this is a proven head coach. Now, this is also a very tough division. This is not a division, well, this is a pretty tough division. I mean, you do have the two bottom teams in the Devils and the Sabres. I mean, they are literally the two, if you're looking at the league standings, they are number 30 and 31. I know there's a joke, I don't know, a couple months ago about how Seattle's ahead of Buffalo, and ha, 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 we all got jokes. But these teams, they fight hard. Okay, but they're not, these are not playoff teams. These are teams, New Jersey and Buffalo, you should be getting points from. So when you lose points against them, that's a problem. So when the Caps lost out on their chance for those two easy points against Buffalo, and they don't get to play them anymore. In their next 10 games, they have 10 games left on the season. They play New Jersey and Buffalo precisely zero times. So the two teams that, no offense, should be gimme points, if you play well, you're done playing them. Your easy wins are gone, and they're not even easy wins. They're the easiest, or what should be technically the easiest wins in your division, because in the NHL this season, you're only playing in your division. So to lose those games, you know, the ones that they've lost this season, or to lose when you're trying to push for a playoff spot, knowing the Islanders are right there with you, knowing the Penguins are half a step behind you, and knowing Boston has games played on their side. And my understanding from listening to, I can't remember the name of the podcast, I literally just freaking talked about it, Caps This Morning with John Walton and Ben, I think it's Ben Raby. I believe Boston's playing either the Islanders, not the Islanders, the Devils or the Sabres. I don't know, maybe in their last 10 or so, or I guess 12 games because they played two less. Two or three times? And considering the Boston's playing pretty well right now, beat up on the Caps somewhat literally this past Sunday, there's a very good shot that the Caps are they the fourth seed? They very well could be going into the playoffs. Are they the fifth seed? Are they sitting at home when this thing starts? I don't know. I mean, this is going to be, it's a tough run between now and the end of the regular season, which is on, I have this, I have like 17 tabs open, so I don't know which one is the right one, but the last game of the season is Tuesday, May 11th. I found it. They play the Islanders three times. That right there, those are games you need to win, because if you could beat them three times, you're putting them in their rear, in your rearview mirror to some extent. You know, they could lose those three and win their next seven. Caps can win those three and lose their next seven, and yeah, things are not great. But you need to win those three games. It'd be great going on a 10-game winning streak. You got nothing to worry about. It's probably not going to happen. You got three against the Islanders. You got the Penguins twice, who I feel like we haven't played since last season. You got the Rangers twice, who've got your number. You got Philly twice, who don't seem to care. And you got Boston once. It is literally going to be a hockey fight with all of those teams and the Flyers. Which is weird, because you think if you're going to have a hockey fight, the Flyers would be the first team you think of. They like to goon it up. I'm actually a little surprised that Brad Marchand hasn't gotten traded to the Flyers or asked to be traded to the Flyers at this point. I feel like that's a match made in hockey heaven. Anyways, I don't like that guy. At least, as I mean, he might be a great guy as a person, but I'm talking about him as a hockey player. He's whatever. Anyways, moving on. You got to play all those teams to make the playoffs and to get the best possible seeding for it, which at this point, I don't really know what that is. You've got fans coming back into the stadium. We got fans coming back in the game. Is it tomorrow? No, next week. Right? I think it's next week. Anyways. You got fans coming back, but it's not the same in terms of having a full stadium for the playoffs. And we know that home ice advantage, not necessarily an actual thing. Helps, but who knows how much. But either way, it's a fight to the end. I don't know. Based on what I've seen so far, we haven't even gone into some of the injury issues that they've got now. We don't know what it's going to look like. So the Caps need to get every single point that they can get. And it can't be 1 point. I mean, if you're going to get no points, get one. I'll take one over nothing. Because at least if someone gets ahead of you, they're not running away with it to an extent. But the ideal move here is you start putting some space between yourself and your division mates. And I got to be honest, based on this past week, I don't see that happening. I think it's going to be a fight. I think, you know, if they go 5-5, I won't honestly be surprised the rest of the way. They've been struggling with the Rangers this year. When do they face them? I think the Rangers games are towards the... Nope, sorry. Rangers are on first week in May. They play the Penguins at home, and then they go to New York for two games on Monday and Wednesday, the 3rd and the 5th of May. And they struggle against the Rangers this season. It's weird. I don't understand it. Well, that's not fair. I guess you can understand to an extent. The Rangers are a good young team. To an extent, they don't have the media attention that Ovechkin brought to the Capitals because he was so flashy and, you know, fun. But the Rangers, you know, you could make a comparison between the Rangers now and the Caps in the early Ovechkin era. You've got a bunch of good young players. That's going to be a team to keep an eye on. That could be real good in the near future. As for the Caps, it's going to be tough to see what's going to happen with them. You know, they got to go on this great run, and I don't know how they're going to do that with the injuries that they're potentially facing. We saw, you know, Chara go down in the game against Boston. And then we saw Justin Schultz. Actually, I think I got the order wrong. But we saw both those guys go down in that game. Now, they did have Michael Roffel, who they brought in from the Flyers, but he hasn't even seen the ice until practicing today. Which, okay, maybe that helps. You bring him in for your kind of stretch run at the end. He's fresh, or fresher. But we'll have to see if that injury ends up being a thing that lingers with him and slows him down a bit. It does look like he's got a shot at being in the lineup on Thursday against the Islanders, which, you know, is helpful. Having another body, he's a veteran. I think he's, what, 32? He's a solid player. He can play on the wings and play at the center spot. So it's a good move. They needed depth at center. They brought in a guy who not only can be that depth at center, but he can also play on the wing. I'll take it. He was wearing a non-contact jersey in practice today, though. It was reported by the Washington Post's Samantha Pell. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play on Thursday. And then instead, we see him... Why is it when the schedule is half of your screen, it turns into this sort of... Not drop-down, but it's just a listing as opposed to the calendar. Like, just make the calendar smaller. But anyways, I wouldn't be surprised if he misses Thursday's game on the 22nd against the Islanders. And we see him on Saturday, the 24th. I think that makes more, especially if he's wearing a non-contact jersey. I feel like, do you want another practice or two with him getting hit before you throw him out there against a team that you were literally tied with and fighting with for that top seed? I don't know. For me, the bigger loss right now, because Chara looks like he's playing. He practiced, so it looks like he's okay. I mean, he's, you know, 17 feet tall, so he's got, you know, plenty of extra body to spare. That didn't even make sense. But the problem we have right now is that Justin Schultz is out. He's a top four defenseman on this team. He's been playing well. You going into your run, you don't want to lose one of your top four defensemen. Team says he's got a lower body injury and he's day-to-day, but who knows when he's going to be back. And when I was reading about that, I started to think about Orpik. Wasn't he, and maybe I'm wrong, but I could have sworn he was day-to-day with the concussion. He was out for months. So while let's hope Schultz isn't out for months, this team is one injury away from their bottom six pairing potentially being, or even one of their top six guys, being a call-up from Hershey. And that's no offense to the Bears. They're doing really well this season. But can you afford to have that in this division that you have to not only win or get in the top four spot, but then you have to get out of it to get further through a cup run? Now, the team did call up Paul Ledoux. He's on the taxi squad. He was like the seventh I guess technically defenseman today. I think Kempney was also practicing, but I don't anticipate them throwing him into the lineup anytime soon. And maybe he comes back and he's your seventh or eighth defenseman if everyone's healthy. And I'm a little less concerned. I still think he's gone in the offseason. But I don't know. It's, you know, is Ledoux the guy that's going to come up? Or, and I don't know if I see this happening, but let's say, let's knock on wood, someone else goes down. I don't think this desk that I'm knocking on is actual wood. So maybe it's just, does that make it a jinx? If it's not real, it doesn't matter. Do they call up Alexiev? It's not unprecedented with this team to throw a kid into a cup run. Look at John Carlson. Given all these run, I want to say all of these run are different coaching staffs, but I might be wrong. I'm probably wrong. That tends to happen. Look at John Carlson. Look at Tom Wilson. Both of them went from essentially the minors and just flew through to the NHL. It's possible. But I'm guessing if they called up Ledoux, it's more for a temporary measure. I don't see how it would make sense, at least to me, to have him be the guy that's going to step in during a cup run. I know he was an offseason signing, and at one point he potentially had a spot at making the team. But that is a risky maneuver, in my opinion. Now, I also haven't really seen him play very much, so I could be 100% wrong. But if they need someone playing, do you start looking at your future? Do you look at the trade you made, sending Siegenthaler to New Jersey? Does that come back to bite you? Maybe. I don't know how he's been playing in New Jersey, and I wish him the best of luck over there. But I don't know. One thing I saw is he's struggling, but so are the Devils. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Now, the other thing we have to think about is let's hope that Van Riemsdyk is ready to play and then he isn't rusty, seeing as how he hasn't seen the ice from other than the press box or in practice in a really long time. I mean, he got, what, a couple of minutes as a forward? I don't even know what position he played. I can't remember. I know he plays defense when the game where he got, like, a cup of coffee on the ice and hung out for a minute. But he hasn't seen, so how rusty is he going to be? Now, I know that Laviolette liked rolling with a defense that, for the most part, was working. But I got to wonder if that's going to come back to bite him. Now, not in the sense that it could have avoided Schultz's injury, because injuries happen. And unfortunately, it's usually at the worst time. You can't predict when they're going to happen for the most part. It's just a reality. I mean, look at, and I'm mad at them right now, but look at Arsenal Football Club. They play Lacazette in a Fulham game where they won't really have any chance of getting really anywhere in the league this season. He pulls a hamstring. He's probably out for a while. Injuries happen. It's reality, and it's usually unavoidable. But you got to wonder, should they have been shifting the lineup, at least defensively, a little bit more? Should Van Riemsdyk have been getting a game every once in a while, every fifth or sixth game, so they keep him fresh? I imagine he's probably going to be playing unless Schultz makes a miraculous recovery. Van Riemsdyk is playing on Thursday and Saturday. How rusty is he going to be? Those first few shifts are going to be real interesting. Now let's shift gears over to Tom Wilson for just a moment, since there was, of course, another uproar on Twitter about his, and I'm doing air quotes, his hit in the game against Boston. Now, anyone who's listening to the show, or if you follow me on Twitter, at WTP Coach Dan, plug, you know that while I like Tom Wilson as a player, how shall I put this? I don't like when he's a moron. Now, and as we said, you don't get to play when you're going to be dumb. However, this wasn't dumb. The dude tripped and fell into Wilson. Was Wilson going to hit him? Yeah, probably. Actually, let's be fair. It's quite likely that he was going to hit the dude. But hockey's a contact sport. And the immediate anger that comes out after him without reviewing the play at all is absurd. Now, from what I saw, it was mostly just fans. And that's going to happen because people aren't actually going to watch the hit. But can we all relax? Can we take a moment to review what's going on? Or let's actually look before going after a guy. Now, I understand that the main reason that people are going after Tom Wilson is because it's Tom Wilson. And he has a history. He's got a history of making bad hits and dumb hits. I'm fairly certain he's the reason we have that line about you not getting to play if you're going to be dumb. And that meme somewhere. I have to see if I can find that. But I highly doubt if it was someone like, I don't know. Like, I wonder, does Mantha get that kind of, he doesn't really hit very much, but does Mantha get the same thing just because he's a big dude? Like, I feel like if Backstrom did that hit, no one's really talking about it. Not a hit. If Backstrom had the guy trip into him, no one's really talking about it. So, I'm not really sure where I was going with this. I guess other than to say, can we all just relax and review before tweeting? Like, think before you speak. Or, in this case, type. But, I guess to an extent, Wilson kind of is to blame for people going after him. This sounds weird. Like, it's victim blaming to an extent, though he's not really a victim. But, like, he kind of has it coming in terms of people saying things about him on Twitter when he's involved in any sort of play because of his past. But let's take a minute to review the play. Plus, the dude was fine. So let's not go nuts. Last guy I want to talk about before we shift gears. And I know it's a bit of a shorter show, but that's what happens when Brandon and I aren't, you know, we don't have the back and forth and the conversation and the 20 minutes talking about jersey styles, which you really need to go back to the classics. Really need to put that red stripe on the, along the top of the blue ones and need to move that W up to the shoulder. But the one guy I really want to talk about is Anthony Mantha. Now, I talked about him, Brandon and I went over it last week in terms of when he got traded to the team, and I had a little bit of a hard time dealing with that trade. Not in, like, life, just in the hockey sense. You know, I have a toddler. Clearly, I'm busy because he doesn't sit still and he's loud. You may have heard him at some point during this recording. But I had a hard time with this trade because of the, and I called it the romanticism aspect of Vrana. And not just Vrana himself, but that guy that you've drafted and has come up through the organization, to see him leave, it, I don't know, I can't think of a better word than hurts, but it's disheartening to lose a player that won a cup with you, but then also came through the organization. You know? It's tough. It also, losing a first and second round pick, not ideal either. Now, I guess one of those draft picks you had to give up to get Ponick off the books, which I still think was a great move, but still not thrilled about the first round pick. I really, because Vrana and Mantha had similar stats this year. Vrana's actually may have had better stats if I remember correctly. You know, we're talking a handful of points, no more than probably four, if even that, at the point. So the first round pick, I feel like the Caps got ripped off. I gotta say, Stevie Y, he's a fantastic general manager. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do with the Red Wings. But as the Caps on Twitter called him Anthony Manthony, I don't know why that joke's funny to me. This dude, if he can keep up even a semblance of what he's done so far, this is a great trade. He's become the first Capital ever to score in his first four games with the team. I didn't know that. I got that stat, I think, from the game. Or on Twitter. I don't remember. Anyways. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, huh. So I looked up some stuff about Vrana. He scored in his first game with Detroit on a breakaway, no less. Coming out of the box. Vrana using his speed as he does so well. And I kind of wonder, is this going to be one of those trades that just works for both teams? Where Vrana turns into a really good player for the Red Wings. And Mantha turns into a really good player for the Caps. Of course, I just jinxed them both, and now they're going to go on to having terrible careers. I apologize, gentlemen. It's my fault if that happens. But I kind of wonder if this is one of those situations where you're like, huh. Yeah, I don't love that they gave up the draft picks, and I don't love that we lost the guy we brought to the organization. But it seems like Mantha's fitting in real well. I think TJ Oshie came out and was talking about how he fits in the locker room. The guys like him. He fits it. He knows how to play. I think also until, I don't know if they practiced Monday, but it was Monday or Tuesday, was his first actual practice with the team since he got traded because they've had so many games. Maybe I didn't hear that right. I think I heard that on Caps this morning, but I could have that wrong. But he's got 5 points in four games. I want to say, I have his stats up. Where did he go? He's got, hold please. Yeah, 4 goals and an assist. I think he's a minus one right now, though. So that could be improved. With the Capitals, mind you. But I will take it. I will definitely take that. Because as much as it may have hurt, again, from the romanticism aspect of losing Jacob Vrana, this dude looks like he's no joke. He's only a year older than Vrana. So it's not like they brought in this, like, aging veteran to help them get over and had to give up a young guy. He's currently 26. He will be until September when he turns 27. That's how it works. The one thing I don't like about him, though, I like that he's a big guy, 6'5", 234, according to the Caps website, but he doesn't play like he's a big lumbering dude. He's pretty quick. He's got a nice shot. Like, this could be a great trade, and I might have to double-check this on Cap Friendly, but I believe he's locked up for a couple more seasons. He's, I want to say 3 more years. Cap hits a little high. Not loving that, going to be honest. But that's what, you know, that's sometimes that's the reality of having really good players. So like I said, 26, yep, 3 more years, $5.7 million. I'm fine with that. I don't know what he's going to want after that. And obviously we have to wait and see how the rest of rest of those 3 seasons go. But I'm loving this trade right now. The only thing I don't like about having him on this roster is his number. 39 for me is just random. Wasn't that Steckel? I want to say that was Dave Steckel's number. But it's just, I don't know. It just seems weird. For me, and I don't know why this is, but like goal scoring wingers always have a lower number. Or they have the really high numbers when you're in like the 80s or 90s. I don't know. That's just me personally. I don't know why I feel that way. I just do for some reason. But yeah, I hope this keeps working out. Hopefully it's not just a sort of like a new surroundings thing where he comes to a team, starts out really well, and then turns into, you know, just it's not working out anymore. But keep it up, man. Because this team needs the goal scoring right now. But I want to say that's it for Caps World. I think I've covered all of the various things. I think we've covered everything, everybody. In regards to the Caps. And if I forgot about it, too bad. It's just me tonight. But all right, I'm going to take a quick break and then we're going to go down on the farm. All right, as Brandon likes to say, we are going down on the farm, talking about the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs, and we got a little bit of other news. But let's start in Hershey like we normally do, where the Bears went 1-0 with a win over Binghamton. They're currently first in the North Division with 32 points, 5 up on second place Lehigh Valley, who has played 4 less games than the Bears. So Hershey's got to keep it up. Now they're back at it tonight, as I've said, that being Wednesday in Lehigh Valley, before heading back to the Giant Center in Hershey for a midday game on Saturday against Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Still, pick a city. They then head to Wilkes-Barre for a Sunday late afternoon road game. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-3-1 in the past week with a win over Jacksonville. They are currently still sitting at 5th in the East Division with 51 points. Actually, it might be the Eastern Conference in how they're doing it this year. 17 back of first place Florida, but they're only 7 back of second place Indy. So, Stingrays, let's get a little bit of a winning streak going. Move your way up. I don't even know if the Kelly Cup playoffs are happening this year, but if they are, I don't know if the Stingrays are getting invited right now. Now, they're back at it tonight at the North Charleston Coliseum against Jacksonville before welcoming Greenville on Friday and Saturday, before heading to Greenville on Sunday. By the way, that Saturday game at the Coliseum, this is my favorite thing of this week. Saturday game at the Coliseum is Nickelodeon night, and the jerseys are Rugrats themed. Anybody down in South Carolina, if you listen to the show, I want one. If they're selling them. Although I don't want to buy one. I think Raptor is on it. Anyways, they look cool. And I'm a jersey snob. I'll admit it 100%. Anybody who's listening to the show probably already knows it. I am a jersey snob, but I like those. They were pretty cool. Anyways, let's head back north to good old Hershey, Pennsylvania, where the Hershey Cubs announced tryouts for their first season will be held on May 22nd and May 23rd at the Click Lewis Arena. And the Cubs announced that they have signed their first player in Gabriel Page. Congrats to the kid on being the first signing in club history. And finally, in juniors news, the OHL announced that they have officially canceled their season. That is unfortunate for a lot of those young players that were trying to have a season and make a name for themselves going into the next playoffs, into the next NHL draft. That's news from the past week in the minors. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, we're going around the NHL. We got lots of... Actually, we do have a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's start in San Jose, where Patrick Marleau passed Gordie Howe to have now played the most games in NHL history. Congratulations to Patrick Marleau, who actually doesn't look that old when you look at him. Like, props to him. Over in New York, the NHL is reportedly looking at allowing... This is what I was talking about earlier, but then botched it. They're looking at allowing jersey advertising to start next season. No. I don't like this. No. No, thank you. Good day. I get it. I get why they want to do it. I understand it completely. No, thank you. Now, if they're going to do it like the NBA, where it's kind of up on the, and I think I have this correct, it's kind of up on the shoulder. Okay. I want to know where. I don't like the KHL, the Europe, I'm pretty sure the KHL does it, but the European leagues where they have, you know, the, it looks like NASCAR, where you've got all the different advertisements all over them. You know, are you going to put it on the back? Are you putting it on the shoulder where one of the, or both of the shoulders instead of having another logo for some teams? Ooh, that would be tough because some teams' jerseys are so iconic and they don't have shoulder logos. I wonder how they would take that. But having a logo on the shoulder, you know, where they have it on the helmet, maybe I'd be okay with that. But I don't like it. I feel like we've gone down that, we're going down that slippery slope and there's no stopping them now from looking like a minor, no offense, AHL or KHL, but looking like a minor league, for lack of a better way of putting that. I don't like it. Speaking of next season, Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic is reporting that the NHL general managers were on a call today and share that they are hoping for next season, that being the 2021-2022 season, to start on October 12th, which is, what, like a week later than a normal season. Training camps would open on September 22nd. I gotta say, optimistic, but I guess that's possible. And impressive if they pull it off. But we have to see where this one ends first. Winnipeg signed forward Adam Lowry to a 5-year, $16.25 million extension. Cap hit comes to $3.25 million a year. I clearly am in the wrong line of work. I should have tried harder at skating when I was a kid. I don't know. Never really played hockey until I was older. Vancouver's Alex Edler. Someone had to do it. Someone was a dummy this week, and this week was Alex Edler. He was suspended for 2 games for kneeing Toronto's Zach Hyman. And then let's switch over to international hockey as the IIHF World Championship of Hockey will take place on May 21st through June 6th in the city of Riga, Latvia, at the Arena Riga, home to the KHL's Dynamo Riga. That would be kind of fun to have an NHL team. I mean, I guess you kind of had that with Anaheim at one point, but to have their name before the city? I guess it's more of a European thing, a European football thing or soccer thing. But anyway, the games will also be played at the Olympic Sports Center, which happens to be across the street from the arena. They'll be transporting it. Yeah, right. Transforming it into a 6,000-seated arena to be able to have the games. Now, this was important. and Brandon made sure to put this in the notes. The IIHF has also released the official song for the World Championship Tournament. Songs titled For Glory and Joy, performed by Latvian band Astro and Out. Go ahead and head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod, nice plug, to check out the song. And finally, the 2021 Women's World Championships in Nova Scotia has reportedly been canceled. This is coming from ESPN hockey reporter Emily Kaplan. Now, this means that there has been no top-level women's international hockey competitions in the last year, which is bullcrap. Because they've had the IIHF has also had the men's U20 and men's worlds, while they're also on schedule for the men's U18 in Texas later this month. There's absolutely no reason that we can't have the women playing as well. And those are some good games. So, I don't know. That's bugging me a bit. And maybe I don't know enough about the information about as to why specifically that one's not happening. May have to do with the fact that, you know, people can't go back and forth, but I feel like you can travel into Canada, hang out for 2 weeks before you're allowed to play. So I don't know. That's bothering me a bit. But that's what's going on the last week in the world of hockey. But yeah, that's it. That is the show this week. Thank you, those of you who made it through this one, just hearing my voice. I know. I hear it every day. It's a bit painful, but you made it. Congratulations. But thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. You go ahead, and if you feel so inclined, go ahead and follow me on Twitter. As I mentioned before, I'm on Twitter at WTPCoachDan, talking all kinds of things related to the Washington Capitals, talking about Arsenal Football Club and how I'm mad at them right now for that stupid European Super League nonsense. Okay, so for those of you who don't know what that is and may have seen all of this uproar about it on Twitter, European Super League, in comparing it, best way I can think of explaining right now is, let's say they had the Stanley Cup playoffs, but every year the original six were in the playoffs no matter where they ended up in their regular season standings. So even if the Maple Leafs were last in the league, they still got to go to the playoffs because they were part of the original six. That is the best analogy that I can think of at the moment for what the European Super League was and that nonsense. And I am embarrassed that my favorite team, Arsenal Football Club, that I am a supporter of, that I have been to their stadium. I have been to the Emirates, to the grounds, twice. I have been on the pitch, sort of. They don't really want you to go on the grass, but I did the stadium tour. It was pretty cool. I sat in Arsene Wenger's seat. To have them be a part of that, it's rough, because it's just an embarrassment. And it's another example of an owner not caring. So Stan Kroenke, screw you, buddy. Anyways, I also am on there talking when things happen about the Buffalo Bills, Washington Football Team. Please don't stay with that name. I know there are stories coming out. Don't do it. Let's go with a real name. I do kind of like it. I think it's kind of fun and definitely sets you apart. But it's still kind of silly, so don't do it. Also, though, on there, hopefully talking about some other European football teams. Dortmund, might have to start following them a little bit more closely than I have been due to my disenchantment. I don't know if that's a word. If it's not, I just made it one. With Arsenal right now. But that's following me on Twitter at WTPCoachHan. Go ahead and follow Brandon at BrandoCash. He's on Twitter. Go ahead and follow the show. If you've liked what we're doing, go ahead and follow us. Give us a follow, a like, a whatever. A review would be great. On Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out. As well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals. The National... Hershey Bears. Stingrays. The Cubs. National Hockey League. And anything else we think is fun related to hockey. Or that Brandon finds funny. He'll put it on there. It's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Now, this is usually the part where I give Brandon an opportunity to plug his other podcast. I'll do it for him since he's not here. If you're a fan of the Baltimore Ravens, how dare you? Especially if you're from Montgomery County, you traitor. But if you're from the Baltimore area, it's fine. If you want to be a fan of the Baltimore Ravens, you should check out his podcast. It's The Call. I don't know if they have a Twitter handle or the rest of it, because I usually am doing other things when Brandon goes on his rant about it. Busted. But go ahead and check out his podcast again. It's called The Caw. Him and his buddy Josh talk about the Ravens. Not a lot going on, although they signed Sammy Watkins, so I don't understand why they're not talking about or didn't talk about that. Or maybe they did. I'm not a fan of the team, so I don't know. But I've been on the field. I saw them play the Bills a couple years ago. Wasn't pretty for the Bills. But Peterman was starting, and he sucks. So, can we talk about how being a backup quarterback, if you're a decent, not even decent, if you're a live backup quarterback, if you don't mind moving every year or every other year, you can make a really good living. They don't really play. They just practice. I know there's probably a lot more that they do, but you make millions. You'll make a couple million every year. And some goes to your agents. I know. But you don't have to get hit. I may be hit in practice a little bit. But I don't know. But I also imagine if you're a professional athlete, you want to start, you want to play, you want to win it all. That's why you're doing it. So there's that too. But anyways, I got completely off track, as we do. So, hey, this is kind of like a normal show. But thank you for listening. I greatly appreciate it. Go ahead and follow. If you can, give us a review on iTunes. It helps put the word about the show out there. You can go ahead. If you want to write something, that's even better. Please be nice, though. If you want to write something mean, you know, keep it to yourself. But if you want to say something nice, go ahead and give us a review. 5 stars would be great. Let's follow us on iTunes. Look us up at What the Puck. But thank you for listening. That's it for this week. Brandon, hopefully we'll be back next week. Otherwise, it'll just be me again. We'll see how that goes. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.